The title of today's message is Anchored. Who or what are you anchored into? Who or what are you anchored into? But before I get started, happy Valentine's Day to everyone, even the ones with Zoom. But I got a word of advice for the husbands, the fiancés, the boyfriends. If your wife, girlfriend, fiancé say, "Don't worry about it, we're okay, it's just Valentine's Day, it's just another day," don't fall for it. Because the minute she gets a phone call or one of her girlfriends at work say, "Oh, guess what my husband did for me, or my fiancé did this," you are in trouble. Once again, the title of today's message is Anchored. Who or what are you anchored into? Got a little example here. It's why I praise God and I'm anchored into God. It's because of my past, my present, and what he promised me in the future. Let's say someone goes out and they go to a bank and they withdraw some money out of that bank to go pay a bill, get the nails done, or whatever it may be. But in the process of drawing money out of the bank and going from point A to point B, they misplace some money. So now they're short. See, in the flesh, you're upset and you're trying to find that money. Where did I lose that money? Where did I misplace it? Okay, I was at this store and I pull out my wallet. I gave the lady this amount. I should have had this amount. Somewhere along the line, you lost the money. That's in the flesh. But if you look at it in the spirit, think about it this way. Somebody found the money that you lost because they were praying, "I wish I had $20 to put gas in my car to go from point A to point B so I can get to work to take care of my family or to put food on my table." So think of it this way. You may have misplaced it, but it blessed someone else. They may not have gotten to use it the way you wanted to use, but it did bless them. See, this is why I'm anchored into God. Because he will make a way. You only asked for a little bit, and he blessed you. He may have took it from you, but remember, it's his money. He can spend it any way he wants to. It all belongs to him. You misplaced it, but if you look at it, okay, my money went to someone else to bless someone else and move on with life. Someone found it. So all my question is, who are you anchored into? Remember this story I told you that sometimes bad things happen to you? But even though you are a child of God, bad things can still happen to you as well. Do you remember when I talked about the young lady that all she had was a little car was barely put together and it was barely getting her to and from work and someone stole her car? A couple of weeks later, or however long it went, the police found her car. Now, remember, this car didn't have a good radio, it had no AC, the tires were bald. It was barely hanging on, but it's all she had to get her to and from work. She made the best of it. But the car was taken from her. But the police found her car. When the police found her car, they brought it to her, or they brought her to the car, one or the other, and then turn around. She was like, "That's not my car." During the time the car was stolen, the car had new tires put on it. It was painted. It had a radio put in it. The AC worked. See, everything bad happens for, it doesn't happen to hurt you. It's just to see how strong or how anchored you into God. It's all she had, but she was anchored into God, and God turned around and got her car fixed by somebody else and gave it back to her. Who are you anchored into? Because I can tell you, in my past, I was anchored into the wrong things. We all sinners. But I can tell you from experience, I was that one that was young and dumb and thought everything was all about me. I did this. I did that. I did this. Come to find out, I'm the dumb one sitting up there telling all my friends, "Hey, look here. The devil gonna have to retire. I'm about to take his seat." That's how young and dumb I was. But even though I was saying these things and doing the wrong things, God found a way to give me mercy and grace and show me what he had written for me and not what I had written for me. So who are you anchored into? take a moment, look back and say where I was and where you are right now. Amen. He has brought you and I a mighty long way. An anchor. If you look at an anchor is a device used of metal attached to a ship or a boat by a cable or cast overboard, thrown overboard, to hold it a particular place by means of fluke that digs into the bottom. I'm a little nervous. Just give me a second. I'll calm down. Another word for an anchor, a reliable or principal support. Another definition for an anchor. Something that serves to hold an object firmly. If I'm anchored into my church and my church lets me down, the atmosphere changes, so that anchor moves. If I'm anchored into the Lord, no matter what goes around me, I'm focused on Him. Something that serves to hold an object firmly, and He holds me firmly as He will hold you firmly. An anchor. Today is Valentine's Day. One day out of the year where we go out of our way to show someone how special they are to us. We shower them with chocolates, flowers, special dinners, jewelry, and sometimes a ring of occasional proposal of marriage. One day out of the year that man said, let's show someone that we love how much we love them. But think about this. From January 1st to December 31st, it's 365 days. But hold up. There's a leap year in there. So somebody might be born in that leap year. So it's 366 days to them. So we have 365 or 366 days to say, Lord, thank you for being anchored in us. Let us anchor into you. Let's shower you with love, praise, hallelujahs, amens, thank yous. 365 days out of the year, not one. That one was a man-made day. This is a God-made year, 365 days out of the year that you have an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord. I'm anchored into you no matter what goes on around me, no matter when the wind blows or not, I am anchored into you. As you notice here, it says, opportunity to show Jesus how much we love him for being anchored into our lives. Let's be honest. Without him, none of this is possible. And notice I said, without him, you wouldn't be breathing. You wouldn't be walking. You couldn't hear. Some of the ones that can't hear, trust me, they can hear because they're speaking to God. They may not hear you, but they can hear him. See, it's like this. In the beginning, God created the earth, the heavens and the earth. Not man. Not man. God created this. That's why I'm saying, without him, who are you anchored into? Because he created this. He made the landmass. He made the waters. He made the day, the night, the heavens, the earth. He did all this. And as you go further on in the lines, he goes just like this here. He says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Disregard that typo. That's me trying to rush to do a job and do this at the same time. Let's make man in our image, in our likeness. Can man do that? No. So who are you anchored into? Who do you want to be anchored into? I can tell from my experience, my past, it's God. Amen. That is the only one you want to be anchored in, because if you think about it this way, if you are anchored into God, everything you want in life will line up in place. It will be a wife, a husband, a family, a child, a job, a home, food on the table. It won't be easy. He didn't promise you easy. He promised you, though, but he didn't promise it would be easy, because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Everyone would be doing it. Also, further down the line, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers. Be fruitful and increase in numbers. When he says be fruitful and increase in numbers, he can handle all of it. When man says be fruitful and increase and multiply, he sometimes walk away from his responsibilities. God ain't walking away from nothing. He's telling you be fruitful and multiply because I can handle it all. But can you handle what I have for you? If you're anchored into me, I have plenty for you. I promise you more. Be encouraged. Watch this. Be encouraged. You and I have the opportunity to encourage someone else to be anchored into the Lord. I want you to look to your left and say, be encouraged. Look to your right and say, be encouraged. Look inside yourself and say, I will encourage someone to be anchored into the Lord. It is your job to go out and bless someone with God's word. Have them anchored into the Lord as well as you anchored. Show him what he has done for you. Because I can speak. He has done a lot for me. Where I was and where I am now, oh my God, it's a hundred times different. I've been through some things. Somebody's being tested by the devil. But at the same time, when I say be encouraged, watch this. The pastor sits up here and he speaks to you and he teaches and he preaches because he's encouraging you to be faithful and stay faithful into the Lord. Amen. But remember one thing. The pastor is of flesh as well. He needs that to be encouraged. You have to turn around and encourage him so he can stay focused on the Lord. Because that's a lot. Because think about this. When the pastor stands up here, every last one of you that are here or on Zoom are anchored into the Lord, anchored into the pastor. That's a lot of anchors to hold on to and handle his household with First Lady and the kids. That's a lot of anchors. So sometimes you got to turn around and encourage the pastor so he can stay focused. Because remember, he has to weather the storm as well as we do. We all going through this pandemic. We had a rough year last year. We're still going through it. Is he not going through it with us? Yeah. Turn around and encourage your neighbor. Encourage your friends. Bring them in the church. Let them know we need to be anchored in the Lord no matter what's going on. Because when the wind blows, as long as you focus on God, you're going to be all right. Amen. Watch this. When I say be encouraged, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that not a word of encouragement? You can walk in a store and someone may have their head down. You can speak them little words right there and it might change their life. Watch this. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. I walked into a church for the very first time. The pastor said something. It could have been the way the choir sung the song. It could have been the way the band played. Or someone in the church said something to me where I turned my life over to Christ from that point on. But remember this. When I walked into that church, I came in with baggage. I came in with garbage in God's house. This heart belongs to God. It's his house. It's up to us to keep it clean, to keep the devil out of it, so he can pour more of him into you. But remember this, when you become a believer, your spirit is made right, and sometimes the soul does not get to notice it has a hole in it. Due to things that has happened in your past, like hurt, abuse, neglect, a failed relationship, or marriage, or depression, or being sad, and I can go on and on. So just because you came in and you're saved and you believe in God now, remember, you have stuff in you that you still have to get out of you. Watch this. I have a house. With a wife and kids, we collect trash throughout the day. We put it in a trash bag. When we walk out the house, we take that trash to the Herbie Kirby. Then the garbage collector comes by and takes that trash and takes it away. I don't have a second thought about that trash that left my house. Why is it when you come in here and you start believing in God and he starts cleaning out his trash out your house, his house, and put it to the trash, you go and try to put it back in? If you let it go, let it go. When the garbage collector collected and let it go, you wasn't worried about it, had a second thought about it. But when God started cleaning stuff out your heart, saying, hey, you don't need that. You don't need that hate. You're not depressed. You don't need this. Why do we keep going back and grabbing it, saying, hey, I can't live without this? Yes, you can. Been there, done that. You can have hurt in your life. You can have pain in your life, depression, but you don't have to stay there. So if the garbage man comes collecting, you have a second thought about it. When God cleans it out, don't have a second thought about it. If you trust him, give it to him. If you give it to him and you don't trust him and you keep taking it back, you're not trusting him. Either you're all in the anchor or you're not. Because every time you pull that anchor out, you're moving yourself further and further away from him. As long as you stay anchored to him, I don't care how far the wind blow you left or right, you are still focused on him. Think about this anchor in a boat. It's anchored and the wind blows. That ship ain't going nowhere but around in circles. It's staying right there in that same location, no matter how hard the wind blows. Who are you anchored into? Are you anchored into the hurt? Are you anchored into abuse? Are you anchored into neglect, depression, a failed relationship? I had a girlfriend in high school who let me down. I was devastated. It hurt me. But at the same time, it blessed me. Because look who I ended up with. Everything bad that happens to you is not to hurt you. It's to grow you and stay faithful in him. She made a mistake. That's on her. Because every time I go home, guess what? I'm showing off. I hate to say it, but hey. Yeah, I'm home. I hear my wife and my kids. You got to realize everything bad that happens to you is not happening to hurt you. He's just cleaning house. You just have to let it go. Stay anchored in the Lord. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. God didn't promise you it would be easy. We're all going to go through our trials and tribulations. It's God's house. Let him clean it. He made it, so let him clean it. If he wants to clean your house, let him clean your house. But the point is, if you come in here and say, I trust you, Lord, give it to him. I own the company. The rules change of me owning the company. I'm fighting to keep the company. God's fighting to close the company to put me in a better position. But I'm fighting to keep the company. So I'm not trusting him. So me and the wife, we sit down, we talk about it. Next thing you know, I say, you know what? I'm going to give it to him. I left it alone. To this day, where I was and where I'm now, I'm back where I was when I owned the company with less stress. Amen. See, I'm telling you, God is good. But you've got to give him the opportunity and be patient to let him do his work. Because the situation that you're in, it didn't happen overnight. It's not going to change overnight. If I walk in and say, this small blessing, Lord, whoo, I sure hope I pass this test tomorrow. Ooh, I sure hope I get this promotion in this job. These are small blessings you're asking for. I'm going to get to that in just a second. It's God's house. If he cleans it out, take the trash out. Let him throw the trash out so he can pour more blessings into your life. Stay focused on the Lord. Stay anchored in the Lord. Because when things happen, Psalms 23:3, he leads me by quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. When you're going through it, if you take the time to be patient and focus on him, he's going to set you in a quiet place. He's going to fix your situation. He didn't say, I might restore your soul. He didn't say, I think I can. He said, I will restore your soul. So who do you want to be focused in? Do you want to be focused in man who promised, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, and then something else come up, and next thing you know, oh, let me change it around. Do you want to be focused in woman who promised they'll do this and that, and see, I had to put both of y'all in there now. But I don't want y'all to think it's all men making mistakes around here now. We all making mistakes. But he leads me by quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. He restores you. So when you come in that church, and you've been transformed, and you love God, and the atmosphere changed in your life, remember, you had that baggage of that hurt, that depression, that neglect, whatever it may be. Give him a chance to fix it. It's not going to happen overnight. Because think about this. Every time you look up, that person that has you depressed, that person that hurt you, they are still walking this earth. You're going to see them. You're going to hear from them. You may hear for them through someone else. But you got to give him the opportunity to fix the problem. Did he not say, I will make your enemy your footstool? Mm-hmm. Trust me. Trust in the Lord in everything you do. Watch this. A young man goes out. About 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago, I told you the story. And he robbed a bank. He was in himself, not God. When he went to jail, he served his time, but while he was in jail, he started serving and praising God. 15, 20 years later, he is God. If you never knew he robbed a bank, you would say, that's a man of God. That's a man of God. That's a man of God. But when I see him as a man in flesh, that's the man that robbed the bank. That's the flesh. I won't let it go. That's the man that robbed the bank. That's all I'm going to say. Even though he's serving God, his one mistake, that's all we see. But you never saw that because you don't know nothing about it. But guess what? God wrote the story. He knew he was going to do it before he did it. But he also knew that he would come to him, his warm embrace, his grace, his mercy. See, it's us. It's not about us. It's about him. He is proven over and over and over again. It's about him. So who or what do you want to be anchored into? If it's me, I want to be anchored in the Lord. When the atmosphere shift, where are you at? When I say the atmosphere shift, who or what are you anchored into? Watch this. I'm going to see if I can shift the atmosphere in here real quick. I go to the bank, and I make a deposit. It's a small check. The very next day, that check's available for me to draw money off of. I go to the bank 2 weeks later, and I put a large check in the bank. And the teller tells me, I'm going to have to hold this check for 5 to 10 days. Why do you have to hold my check for 5 to 10 days? We have to verify that those funds are available for you to draw on. See, watch how God works. I walk into this school to take a test, and I'm like, Lord, please help me pass this test. Did you study for it? Is it his fault that you didn't study for this test? No, but the point is you asking for this blessing. That's a small blessing. So, yeah, you passed. You may not pass with the score that you wanted to pass with, but you passed. It's a small blessing. But then you turn around and you start putting for these large blessings that you're asking for. Be careful what you ask for now. Now, remember, God promised you a whole lot. Remember the gold payroll, the big houses, no stress, the whole nine yards. He promised you a lot. And it's yours. It's just on hold. You're not broke. You're not stuck. Just because you're sitting here and you may live in a low-income house, or you may live in this big house, or you may have a broke-down car, you're not broke. You're not stuck. Your blessings are just on hold because watch this. God wants to know, do you have the discipline for this blessing? God wants to know, do you have grace for this blessing that I'm about to give you with? God wants to know if you have integrity for this blessing that I have for you. He wants to know, do you have character for this blessing I have? And most of all, he wants to know, can you handle this blessing? So your stuff is there. He promised it's all yours. It's there for the taking. It's verified. It's yours. But can you handle it is what he's waiting to see. That's why your stuff is on hold. Who are you anchored into? I'm anchored into the Lord. Because where I was and where I am now, trust me, I know my promise is coming through because I am getting from point A to point B, and it's like it's a joy to praise and worship God. Amen. Who are you anchored into? Once again, he just wants to know, are you disciplined enough for the blessing to receive the large blessing that I have for you? Do you have the character? Do you have the integrity? Do you have the grace? You can't have it one day and expect your blessing, and the next day somebody says something and it messes with your atmosphere to the point where you revert back to the devil's ways. You say some things that you shouldn't say. Because think about this. When you make a mistake, do God come back and say, what you doing? No. He forgives you and move on. But we as people, we hard, the flesh, it's hard for us to do that. Once you hurt us, that's all we see. Every time you see, our eyes turn red. Every time you see us, my eyes turn red. Who are you anchored into? Are you anchored into your husband or your wife? Are you anchored into your family? Are you anchored into a true friend? Are you anchored into a job? Or is it your church that you're anchored into? Now watch this. Let's go back to, are you anchored into your husband or your wife? If I'm anchored into my wife or you're anchored into your husband, whatever it may be that you're anchored into, and they do something that disappoints you, That anchor, you pull it out. You pull up. You're ready to move. So now there's a distance between you because you're both mad at each other. So he didn't do what I told him. Or she didn't do this. I was told to take the trash out, but I wanted to play PlayStation 5. I'll take the trash out later. I asked you to wash the dishes. You didn't wash the dishes. I asked for this meal. Or I asked you to go to the store and get this. It's a whole lot of things. But if I'm anchored into my wife, and I want you to be anchored into your wife or your husband, trust me, I do. But the priority goes to God. Amen. Priority goes to God. Right. If I'm anchored in her, I have a chance of disconnecting my anchor because I'm disappointed. If I'm anchored in a true friend, how the kids say, my ride or die? This is what I'm saying. You have that true friend, but that true friend, they have friends too. And they might say something that disappoints you or that you don't agree with. That anchor gets pulled up. There's a chance for the wind. There's that wind right there. Yep. If you're anchored into, ooh, this is a good one, your job. I go out and I have this job and I'm anchored into it. I'm all in with this job because this job puts a roof over my head, food on the table, pays my lights, my bills, and all that stuff, take care of the kids, the whole nine yards. I mean the job. But also think about this. Last year, did we not go through a pandemic and we're still in it? How many people lost their job because the job shut down because of the pandemic? See, you're anchored into the wrong thing. Things are going to happen. It's not promised to you that it's going to be a perfect ride. It's going to be a bumpy ride. We're all on different paths. We're all going to go through different things. But if you stay anchored in the Lord, it's going to work out every time. If you are anchored into your church, think about this. Not our pastor. But let's think about a pastor that gets up there and they speak and they say some things that you don't agree with. Now, you're not anchored in the church no more. You're like, I'm not going to that church no more. You see what I'm saying? You got to be careful what you anchor yourself into. You can anchor yourself into a husband or wife, a friend, a job, a church. But priority goes to God. Anchored in God. And it all will work itself out. Because trust me, if I'm aligned with God, my wife's aligned with God, we're in line. My job's in line. My health's in line. All this stuff's going to fall in line. But if I'm over here, God's over there, the wife's over there, this, nothing's aligned. So you got to stay anchored into the Lord in order for all of it to come together. Watch this. When I talk about the wife, the husband, the true friend, the job, the church, every time it was that wind that came in that distracted you. And it caused you to do some things where in man's eye, you were sitting there saying, hey, oh, it disappointed me again. I just don't understand this. So when I lash out to a wife, a coworker, or someone, or you lash out, or someone lashes out, there's a discipline there being lashed out. I'm slaying you, but at the same time, I'm not forgiving you. I lost my hope. I lost my trust in you. But if you look at Job 13, he says, though I slay you, yet will I hope in you. See, you're going to make mistakes. He already knows you're going to make mistakes because we're all sinners. Because he wrote your story. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. You think, oh, I'm going to do this for the first time. Yeah, okay. You don't want to think you've done that for the first time? Uh-uh. He already knows. So you're going to make mistakes. But the point is, he's going to come in. He's going to slay you. Yes, he's going to slap you on the wrist and say, hey, that's not of me. You're focused on the wrong thing. The wind has come and distracted you. Now let's get you back on path. Some people, when they go off that path and Lord slay them, they still keep going off that path. But remember what I said when I talked about paths? We all travel in different paths. We all want the same destination, to be with the Lord. But sometimes, if me and a wife, a fiance, a girlfriend, are walking the same path as a husband and wife, and we tend to go our separate ways because of the way life comes in, the way the wind comes in, she goes over here, I go over here. But if I'm staying focused on the Lord, and she's staying focused on the Lord, even though as a flesh, we're not matching, but we're still focused on the Lord, guess what? Them paths will come back together, because God will find a way to put you back together if you're supposed to be together. He loves his children. Stay anchored into his children. Every time I said something, I said, there goes that wind. Though he slay me, yet will I have hope in him. Watch in Matthew 14:29. Come, he said. Y'all remember when Peter and the boys just hanging out in the boat and everything, and God walked up on the water, and God said, hey. Peter said, Lord, is that you? Yep. He said, it's I. I'm not going to say it word for word in here, but he said, yeah, it's I. He said, come. See, when he had me, when he said, come, because I trust him, I'm coming. Peter walking on that water, no problem. Just focus on God. All of a sudden, that wind, see, there go that wind again, that distraction. Peter lost focus. That's what I'm trying to tell you. As long as you stay anchored in the Lord, you have nothing to worry about. Some bad things are going to happen to you. Stay focused on God. It's going to work out for you in every way. Who or what are you anchored into? In order to realize the worth of an anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. How many married couples we have in here over 10 years? There we go. 15 years. 20 years. 30 years. See, I'm saying it's going up and up and up. Watch this. Only the husbands. Has your anchor been tested? Your anchor's being tested. Now watch this. Wives, has your anchor been tested? But it has weathered the storm, has it not? If you're still here 10, 20, 15 years ago, later, guess what? You're anchored into something that God made for you. Anchored into God. Your storm is stress tested. You got some people get into a relationship and they throw that anchor in, they're all in. But then when it started to get tested, they walk away. You was never anchored in. You were never anchored in. Neither one of you were anchored into the Lord, because trust me, if you're anchored into the Lord, it all works out. No matter how big of the stress, the test. God is my anchor, my father, my stronghold. Now, watch this. Remember when I said be encouraged? These are words that God put out in his book, not my book. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am the head and not the tail. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord in all things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loves you. You can conquer the world if you put your trust in him. And the one I said earlier, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'm the one that made the mistake, so I have to suffer the consequences. But at the same time, his arms are always open with that warm embrace of grace and mercy. Come to me, my child. You made a mistake, but I'm still here for you. We all make mistakes, and last, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? These are words of encouragement from God, not man. Who do you want to be focusing to? Do you want to be focusing to me? Because I can change. I can sit here and tell you everything I just told you and say it's my words. But guess what? The minute I'm disappointing you, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say that. I'm going to walk away from you. God's not going to do that. You're going to make some mistakes, but his arm is warm and brace is always going to be there. Come. I know you're going to make mistakes because I'm the one that wrote your story. You're the one that goes in and try to change the story every time to make it your way. And I keep telling you, it's not about you. It's about him. Oh, Heavenly Father, once again, I come in prayer and say, thank you for moving me out of the way and let your words be heard by them. Not my words, your words. Bless those that are sick and shut in, Lord, to be graced another day in your presence, Lord. To those that are in Zoom, we are still here for you. Even though we're in Zoom, we still love you and we want to be back with you as soon as possible. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.